Christmas is a season that we talk a lot about peace. Even in this society that is trying to sanitize Christ out of the Christmas season, you'll see in the stores and on cards and things like that where they won't say Christmas, they'll put the word peace on there. Peace is something that everybody likes to have and everybody wants to have it in their life, but it is an elusive thing to truly have meaningful peace. I want to remind you of these biblical roots of peace, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. Tom just read for us from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." And then that last title that is upon him is Prince of Peace. That is who Jesus Christ is. Then when the message was given from the angels to the shepherds, they came to him and they announced with great fanfare, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Then Jesus came to bring peace. He talked about this in John chapter 14. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." That's what he said to his disciples when he was sharing with them that he was going to be leaving and going back to heaven. And then in John 16:33, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." But what does peace really mean for us? Well, Webster's Dictionary is always a good place to go when you're wondering what the meaning of something is. Let me read it to you straight from Webster's Dictionary. A state of tranquility or quiet. Freedom from civil disturbance. A state of security or order within a community provided by law or custom. That's how Webster's describes peace. But what it means for us today in this service and in the context of the advent of Christ, we need to understand it, what it meant in the first century AD in the country of Israel. I'm sure that if any of you have Jewish friends, you know that the greeting that Jewish people give is shalom. Anybody have a Jewish friend greet you like that? I've had in other communities I've lived in, serving on hospital boards and like that, things like that. I've always been good friends with the Jewish rabbis in town, and I love being able to sit down and have a conversation with them about the Old Testament, because in a lot of ways they understand and know things about the Old Testament that were those who've only studied from a Judeo-Christian perspective don't understand things. But they would always greet me with such humility, and they would say shalom. Let me share with you what shalom means. Shalom is strictly translated as peace into English, but it has a much richer meaning in the Jewish context. It means completeness. It means wholeness. It means a soundness to things. Peace is the reference to that you may be whole and complete and sound in all aspects of your life, and that they are working in harmony together in your health and your prosperity and your well-being, in your security, in your quiet from war, that every aspect of your life would be in harmony with other parts of your life. So when a Jewish person would come and would say shalom, would say peace to you, what they were saying is, my wish for you today is that all aspects of your life would be in harmony together, body, soul, spirit, finances, material things in this realm, relationships, all of those things would be in harmony with one another, and all would be well in your life. The body, that all parts of your body would be working in harmony. Wouldn't you like to have physical shalom today? What about the soul, that the psyche is in balance with your mind and emotions? Wouldn't you like to have that soul shalom? Relationships, that there are no unresolved conflicts in your relationships. Wouldn't you like to be able to say today that you're going forward into 2015 with relational shalom? How about financial shalom, that all of the expenses of your life are in harmony with your income, that you had financial shalom? And what about your relationship with God, that you're living in harmony with His design for your life and all that He wants you to do and to experience in life? Spiritual shalom. When we have harmony, there is that balance that comes. But when balance is missing in our life, in any one of those areas, it has a domino effect, and one thing will affect another, will affect another, will affect another, and we are not at shalom. Let me give to you an example of this. As many of you know, I have been a Volkswagen man my entire life. My very first car was a Volkswagen Rabbit. The man who sold it to me for $200. It was a diesel Rabbit. He had a bad habit of when there were dings that came onto the side of the vehicle, it was a brown one, and that when there would, like somebody would bump it or there'd be a rock chip on it, and it would start to rust. His way of treating it was he just had a can of tar that he kept in his garage and he just smeared tar on it. So this car that I bought for $200, it was this brown car, and it had all these little black tar spots all over it. But, you know, it stopped the rust. So the body was intact, and it was solid. It didn't look like much, but it was intact, and it was solid. Probably the car, though, that I have the most fond memories of was a white Jetta, diesel Jetta that I had. And I love that car. It was one of the first, I think it was actually the first new car I ever bought. And I love that car. I drove that thing for 12 years from the time I bought it until I sold it. And it was a great car to me. And I loved that car. One day, though, I got invited to go and do a funeral for somebody I didn't even know. That happens occasionally. And so this was in a community that was, I don't know, it was 20, 25 minutes away from where I lived. And it was in sort of in that, I think it was in the fall of the year or maybe it was in the spring of the year. I can't remember exactly what it was. But it was in that season of the year where it's not uncommon for it to be raining and for it to be dark at night and you can't see well. And so here I am driving down to go to this funeral and it's dark and I can't see well. It's on a country road where I'm going. And all of a sudden, the biggest raccoon I had ever seen. I don't know how to describe how big this raccoon was, but he hadn't missed many meals, I'll tell you that. He was a well-fed raccoon, and he was in the middle of the road, and I hit him full force. And I'm ashamed to say, I'm sorry to say for animal lovers out there, for raccoon lovers, I killed him. But I ran right over him, and he damaged the front of my bumper on my car, and I got out, and as best I could, I looked at it and figured it was safe to drive, and then when I got down to the funeral home, I did a little further inspection, and I really thought that the only thing that had happened to it was that I had done a little bit of body damage on the bumper, which I thought, well, if that's all it is, then I'll be fine with that. So I continued on and got that fixed and went on with the car as per normal. Interesting thing happened a couple of months after that, though. I'm driving with the family in the car. We're just actually pulling out of church, and I noticed that my light came on, that my engine was starting to overheat. And so I pulled the car over right away, and I had some water in the car, and so I dumped it into the radiator and got it home. But just as I was pulling into the driveway again, it overheated. So I knew I had a leak someplace, and I didn't know what it was. So I managed to be able to get it to a garage that was nearby. And what had happened was when I hit the raccoon, it pushed the undercarriage of the car up a little bit and made things come in contact with each other that were not supposed to be in contact with each other. So there was a belt that was driving in the car, and then there was a hose for the radiator that got pressed into that belt. And over the course of a couple of months of that belt turning and turning and turning, it just wore a hole into that hose and eventually sprung a leak. You see, what happened when I hit that raccoon, I thought that everything was okay because I thought it was just superficial. But it was much deeper than that. That hitting of that raccoon affected the harmony of my car. Then I thought that was going to be the end of it. So that was a few hundred dollars to get that all fixed. And then a little while later, it was into the summertime by this point, I'm driving along, and it was the hottest day of the summer. You know, one of those days, it was in the 90s, and the sun was shining hot, and even when you got the air conditioning full blast in your car, it still feels hot inside. And so I'm driving along, and I had to go through a construction zone, and it was a little bit bumpy, and I went over this bump, and the car had quite a thud. What I didn't realize it also happened when I hit that raccoon was that there was something that moved in the engine compartment, and it shaved some of the plastic coating off of one of the wires that went to the compressor of my air conditioning unit. And it had become corroded, and over the course of months, it had rusted. And when I went over that bump that day in that construction zone on the hottest day of the summer, that wire broke. And it caused the compressor to seize, and it ruined the air conditioning unit in my car. And I sweated for the rest of the drive home that day. It was so hot. And that's not, you know, that's not a cheap thing to fix. If you ever had to replace an air conditioner in your car, that was $1,000+ right there to be able to fix that air conditioner in that car. My car was out of harmony on the inside of it because of hitting that raccoon. Point well taken, that sometimes those things that happen to us in life can cause other aspects of our life to become out of sync, out of harmony. One thing pressing against another over time causes it to wear out, causes it to fray, causes it to corrode, causes it to rust, and then when you hit a bump, boom, the air conditioning goes. or something else goes in your life. That's a lack of peace. That's a lack of harmony. And that's what it's like in our lives. What happened to my car can happen to us in our lives. So those are things that can happen to us in our lives when we don't have peace. Jesus, again, I remind you, wants us to have peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." He said that in John 14. Then in John 16 again, he says, "I've told you these things that you may have peace," that you can have harmony in your life even when those times come that maybe you hit a raccoon. Maybe you think there's just superficial damage that you can live with, but there are other things that have happened in your life that have caused damage. Well, I want us to look at a passage that's not really a traditional passage of Scripture when we think of Christmas time. I probably am the only preacher in the country on the Sunday before Christmas is going to be preaching a message from Romans chapter 5, but Romans chapter 5 verses 1 and 2 really give to us the essence of what the peace that Jesus gives to us is all about. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at just the first two verses here. Let me read them for you. The Apostle Paul writes this for us: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." This peace that we have it because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace that is promised to us because of what Christ did, because of His advent into this world. Let me back up and give you a little context of Romans chapter 5. If you look in the pages before that, in chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, we see why this peace and why this intervention of Jesus Christ into the world was so important. Let me read to you verses 10 through 12 of chapter 3. "As it is written, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." That's a quote from the Old Testament about the depravity of man. And what the Apostle Paul is wanting to point out to us here is that none of us can do this on our own. We all are sinners, which separates us from God, and we have no hope of ever being able to have true and lasting peace, that there would be harmony in our life here on earth that would tie into the harmony that we need to have in heaven. Jesus Christ, or God, wants us to know that we can't do this on our own. A little later on, though, in chapter 3, verse 21, he goes on and he describes how this righteousness comes to us through Jesus Christ. Verse 21 says, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." Verse 22, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did not demonstrate His justice at that present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ." See, this righteousness that we can't have on our own can only come to us through Jesus Christ. That when I finally come to the point and say, yes, I realize that I'm a sinner and I do many things in my life that are against God's standard of righteousness and that are unpleasing to Him, and that I believe that Jesus Christ died to pay for my sins, that my sins can be forgiven only through Him. It's at that moment that God imputes to us, God gives to us the very righteousness of Christ, so that we can live in harmony in this world and have this world that we live in be in harmony with what goes on in heaven. So all of that is a precursor to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, based on what he's just said in those previous passages that we read, that I can't do this on my own, and Jesus Christ is the one who's done it for me. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God." Peace is something that only comes to us because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and that we would have an act of faith in Christ to receive from Him what He's done for us. Our sins are paid through His death, and we receive His righteousness. We are right with God, and that gives to us peace and peace everlasting. The interesting thing, though, is a lot of times we as Christians, we stop and we think about this idea of peace and the forgiveness of our sins as being something that I'm just concerned that I get my sins forgiven so that I can go to heaven. And then I can really handle it okay, God, for the rest of my life here on earth. I can make it through on my own. I don't really need to have much intervention from you. Just as long as you get me into heaven, I'm really okay in my journey here on earth. That's not how it works out, though. God wants us to be people who experience and know peace that is eternal, that will last for all of eternity in heaven with him. But he also wants us to have peace while we're here on earth and to enjoy that peace. Look at what the very next verse here in Romans chapter 5. We've read verses 1 and 2, but let me read to you verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and then perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. What's he say about this whole thing of peace? This peace is going to come to us in the context of suffering. It would be great if peace came to us in the midst of affluence, and peace came to us, that part of what peace meant was that affluence came with it, that all relationships were good, that we didn't have any physical problems, that we didn't have any financial problems, that we didn't have any relational problems. It would be great if peace, the peace that God gave to us, meant that all of those things are going to go away. But no, the whole idea of peace is that God gives to us something that transcends those things in the midst of them. God wants us to be people who have peace. See, there's a purpose that comes in the suffering of life. I've been, a book that I want to get for the new year is written by one of my favorite authors, Ravi Zacharias. I just listened, it's a new book that he came out with just last month, and I listened to a couple of podcasts that he did promoting the book on the very subject of suffering. He interviewed for his book a pastor from Pakistan. And when the pastor, I believe it was Pakistan or India, and when he interviewed the pastor, his immediate reaction when he asked him what he thought about peace, his immediate reaction was, peace or suffering is something that is necessary for the Christian life. Something that is necessary. It's probably not what you want to hear on Christmas Sunday, but it is necessary. Suffering is that which God uses to allow his grace to flow through our life in a stronger way. That if I'm doing this, if I get this peace and I don't have any difficulties in life and I don't have any challenges and I don't have any conflict and I don't have any resistance in my life, then where's God in it? But when I do, and then I come and I afresh and anew rely upon God to get me through whatever that trial is, whatever that suffering is, therein is the demonstration of the grace of God, and that is the purpose that God wants to achieve in all of our lives. I'm sure that you're familiar with the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God is guaranteed to us in the midst of all of those things when we come in prayer, and prayer is really just another way for us to say that we're living our lives in dependence upon God and we want to be obedient to him and what he wants to do. Replace worry with trust in God. We need to reframe our thinking every time that it is that we come to a situation that causes us to worry or to have anxiety. Talking about cars again, I know I'm doing that a lot this morning, but when a check engine light comes on in your car, you know, we call them idiot lights because they don't really tell you a whole lot, but it means that you got to take your car to the garage probably, right, and they got to hook it up to a computer, and then they'll tell you what's wrong with it and what needs to be fixed. But when a check engine light comes on, you know that there's something wrong, and you know you need to do something. You need to take it to somebody who can tell you what's wrong with your vehicle. Worry ought to be like that check engine light in our lives, that when we find ourselves becoming anxious, when we find ourselves worrying about whatever suffering, whatever point of tension might be coming into our life, to be able to say this, how do I need to rely upon God more in this situation? What is God wanting me to learn through this situation? What parts of God's word do I need to know better, do I need to apply in a stronger way in my life? And that's where real peace comes in our life. And you notice that this talks about guarding our hearts, which are as our emotions, Philippians 4, talks about guarding our hearts, but also guarding our minds. And those are the places where the battles will happen for the Christian in terms of experiencing real and true, genuine peace in this life. It's going to be in connection with our emotions and how they're connected to our minds and how we think about things. How can we reframe those? So here, let me make some suggestions to you about how we can reframe our thinking in areas that we've talked about already, that we can have a greater peace with God, and that peace can lead to peace and harmony in our lives this Christmas season and all throughout the year. The body. Think about all the body parts working in harmony, and wouldn't that be great if they always did? And whatever the struggles are that we may have with our body, and I'm not going to say anything more than that, but we all have struggles with our body. They're all different from one another. But here's the thing that I have found over the years that's the greatest way to reframe my thinking about the body is this, that my body's not mine. It belongs to God. And as a Christian, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so it is my responsibility to take care of this vessel of God, not for my own benefit or not for my own esteem, but rather for the glory of God, that God, in my reliance upon Him, is able to strengthen this body as He wants to, that He is able to use this body and heal this body as He wants to for His purposes. And if He chooses that through this body He would use it for suffering and for discomfort, that is also for His glory and for His honor. What about my soul, the psyche, to have it in balance with my mind and my emotions? The devil wants us to see ourselves in the same way that he sees us, as worthless, as having no purpose in this world, as people who are like the rubbish that we throw away every day. But God wants us to see ourselves as he sees us, as those that are so valuable that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to come onto this earth and to die for us. That's how valuable you are to him, and that's how much God cares about your soul and your being, and he wants it to be in harmony with him. What about relationships? Again, the devil would want us to think that relationships are something that we could cast off, that they're not important, that God doesn't really care about them. The whole thing about relationships is that I can live in relationship with other people because God has loved me, and he's forgiven me. And I can forgive other people only because God has forgiven me. It is to the capacity that I understand the depth to which Christ has forgiven me that I am then able to forgive others. If you have a difficult time forgiving other people, I would encourage you to examine even further the depth to which God has forgiven you. And when we come to the realization of how much God has forgiven me, how can I not forgive other people? It's just that simple. Finances. That your expenses are in harmony with your income. And I know that a lot of people get hung up on finances, and finances cause a lot of problems and bring about a lot of lack of peace in people's lives. But here's the secret to that. Again, just like with the body, to know that they're all His. The finances that I have, He provides for my needs, but there's a higher stewardship to that, that what I have, my finances that I have, the home that I have, the things that I own that are in my name are really God's. And I need to use them for His glory and honor. I know that some of you have come to church today probably with a world of hurt and worry in your life. I want you to know today that God offers to us genuine, real peace at Christmas time. But you know, we have to accept it ourselves. We have to accept it, first of all, ourselves as that person who comes and realizes that Jesus Christ came to die for my sins. And that by believing that Jesus died for my sins, he paid for the penalty for my sins, that all of God's wrath was placed on him instead of on me. And because of that, I can now have peace. That which separates from me from God has been taken away, and I can be made right with God when I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I can't think of a better thing to do on Christmas Sunday than to make that decision to confess your sins to God. And say, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ came into this world, and I celebrate that at Christmas, and I celebrate the forgiveness that comes into my life because of Jesus coming into this world. And I want to take him as my Savior today, and I want to have the peace that he offers. And if that's you today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to that in just a few moments. We're going to sing a hymn in just a little while, and I'm going to invite you to come. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can do that today, and you can have that peace in your life this Christmas. But I realize that most of you, if not all of you here today, have already done that. Peace is something that continues on in our life by God's grace. And I believe that the success of the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. And a lot of times throughout my life, I can know this, I've had worry, I've had anxiety, I've gotten it wrong in life when it comes to this whole idea of trusting God. And what God's helped me to be able to do is to be able to come and make a fresh and new start with Him, a new beginning. The success of the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. If peace and anxiety are things that are out of harmony for you in your life, will you make that a fresh and a new start today? And if you want to share that with us publicly, that I'm making a new stand today, I'm making a fresh start with God today, I invite you to come as we sing. Father in heaven, as your Spirit would speak to hearts this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would grant to us that peace that only comes in the person of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for that gift. Lord, as you would speak to hearts this morning, I pray that if there be anyone today who's never known that peace, that you'd give them that faith to respond to that today. Lord, for others who've been walking with you but have been struggling with peace, Lord, today we pray that you'd give them that strength to make a fresh and a new start. Lord, we commit them to you. We pray your blessing upon each one today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.